Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy, and you're listening to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast,
where we help you become a family who lives, loves, and leads well. Welcome back to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. We are delighted that you're listening, and today we are talking about the ways that we shoot ourselves in the foot when we discipline our children.
I love that title.
Yeah, shooting ourselves in the foot. Because why? I mean, it, a lot of times our discipline is because we've been goofy.
It's our fault.
And so,
although let's just call it all on the table, okay? Our kids are sinful little balls of energy.
That's true.
I mean, and so we are sinful little balls of energy. Just
big balls of energy.
Bigger balls of energy. Getting bigger by the year. But anyway. And it's that interaction between the two. Like it's I think realizing when we first had kids that our ugliest selves come out when we see their ugliest self.
You know, I never realized how sinful and wicked I really was till we had kids.
Yeah.
And I started having to discipline them.
Right.
And then I started to see my own like reaction times and my ways I react, and I'm like, what the world? Who am I?
Exactly. That ugliness that comes out of you that you didn't even know was in there.
So today, rather than talking about our children and their behaviors, we're going to talk about our behaviors.
Yep.
And flip the conversation.
Because I think we focus too much on their behaviors. I mean, yeah. I think that's our job as parents. We have to study their behaviors and help coach and counsel and direct, but we don't often look into ourselves.
Right. And to preface this, one research study recently found, they did this meta-analysis, and they looked at the top 10 over all of this research, the top 10 factors, parenting strategies to get the best outcomes you're looking for in your kids.
Okay.
Okay. And they asked the experts what they thought, and the experts were mostly wrong. And they asked, and they looked at all the data. And what they found, number six, okay, actual discipline, behavior modification was number six of the top 10.
Really?
Of the best parenting practices to get the behavior, to get the outcomes we're looking for in our kids. Number six was discipline.
Which is, I think, what most of us harp on. Like, that's the be all and end all of our kids turning out okay.
So the top three.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. What was number one?
Number one is love and affection. Love and affection is number one.
Cool.
All right, the next two and three are not directly related to our direct relationship with our kids. It's the indirect relationship that matters. So what does that mean? It means it's who we are as an individual. The number two greatest parenting strategy for getting the outcome we're looking for in our kids is how we as parents, as adults, manage our own stress.
What? Wow.
Yeah. So you imagine, okay, so just think about this for a second. Your kids are bickering, they're fighting, they're snippy. They don't eat when we want them to. They don't fall asleep when we want them to. They wake up when we don't want them to. And they know how to get us frazzled.
They're disobedient.
Right? I mean, we all used to be perfect parents until we had kids, right?
Oh, I was such a good parent.
Yeah.
Until I had kids.
And so think about all the ways, and that doesn't even include work and all the other things that we have going on that are stressful in our lives when our kids are acting out and, you know, they're screaming, you know, in ways that could peel paint off a wall.
Yep.
Unless they've already used markers to turn it into an art gallery. Like, you're going crazy. But the reality is the second greatest strategy for getting outcomes we're looking for in our kids is how we as parents manage stress. That's why we're flipping this conversation.
Wow.
Number three, by the way.
So convicting. Hey, oh, my goodness.
This is a whole other conversation, but number three is how you treat your spouse. It's how you treat the other parent.
Wow.
Whether you're a spouse or not, it's co-parenting. It's how you treat each other as adults. Crazy. Yeah. So think about that as we talk about this. So
I'm seriously kind of stunned sitting here. Yikes. Okay.
Crazy.
Love
okay,
and affection.
So love and affection, how we manage stress.
Okay, so meaning stress, like when they're freaking out and...
Yeah, because everybody looks normal when things are going well.
Right.
It's not until we hit stress or duress that you see a person's true relationship style come out. Until you see their true sin come out, I should say.
Yeah.
That's what it really is. So what are some ways that we shoot ourselves in the foot? We're going to talk about eight of them. Eight ways that we shoot ourselves in the foot when we discipline our kids. If you don't do any of these, please, we want to know your secrets.
Right. I was looking at the list and I think I've like 3 to 4 of them yesterday.
Yeah.
Easy. Easy.
I can vouch for that.
Whoa now. Hey, pot.
So, okay.
I'm kettle.
So, number one is we fail to set clear rules in the house.
Yep.
So, and the reason I say this is because if you think about it, if we don't know what the rules are or we're not clear as parents, how can we expect our children to be?
Exactly. This is something I honestly struggle with a lot, especially as a stay-at-home mom, because there's things that come up that have never come up before or that didn't annoy me until right now, or it's inconvenient to me and therefore I'm upset about it. You know, like walking through the house with your shoes on.
When the house is dirty, you don't care.
Well, and I've let them do that many times before because they're running from the backyard to the front yard or out to the garage or something. And then all of a sudden it's like, in my head, I'm fed up because the floors are clean and this is a rule and you've disobeyed. And I react out of anger and the kids are looking at me like, what just happened? Like, I didn't
even... Who are you?
Well, I didn't even know I did anything wrong. So that's an instance of I've never set the rule, but I reacted out of anger because it was an inconvenience to me.
Yeah. So we have to be clear.
Yes.
Very clear with the rules.
And I have found the clearer we have been, like especially in times of when things are calm, but to sit the kids down and be like, okay, guys, we're going to talk about some of the rules in our home and for our family. And if I state them in that, when things are good and happy and we're all well and relationships are, you know, mended, that has been probably the most effective thing I've found, at least for our kids, to just, they internalize it and then they know, okay, that's a rule. And when this, and when it doesn't happen, or when we disobey, this is the consequence.
Yeah.
But if I do it in a moment of it's just happened, oh, and I forgot. Yeah, that annoys me. That's not okay. So here's the new rule. And it's out of anger and frustration. It's like...
Well, think about how we'd treat each other if we did it with each other as adults.
When we're calm.
You had no expectation that you weren't supposed... You know, you pull into work and you had no expectation that you weren't supposed to park in the parking spot that you did. And you get inside and your boss says, why'd you park there? And you're just completely like thrown off. Like, what are you talking about? No, you're not supposed to park there. Like, no, this is a rule. You can't park there. But you had never heard of it before.
Right.
Like, right? It's like, we wouldn't, like, that's so weird.
Right.
So imagine our kids looking
and
at us like we have three heads.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Who the world are you? So number two leads to that. Is also part of this. Number two is that we set too many rules.
Hmm.
And when you have too many rules, it leads to more consequences, which leads to more power struggles, which leads to more emotional breakdowns.
Right.
That's really kind of the...
So really, it's setting clear rules on the things that really matter. Like on the rules that really matter
and
for
I,
your home.
Yeah, and I think to that point, what we're doing here is we're also talking... We also have to think age appropriately. Hmm. So for our kids... If we set way too many rules, I mean, they can't even remember, you know, within 5 seconds that you know.
Where they left their shoes?
Yeah, where they left their shoes. Like, to remember so many rules is very difficult.
Yeah.
And so what we'll do is we'll have seasons where certain rules really matter, mm-hmm. and we really hone in on them. So, for instance, for a period of time, sitting down at the dinner table and not getting up, and then clearing your plate, asking to be excused and clearing your plate was one that we really stuck to for a period of time. Today,
we don't even address it.
We don't even have to address it because it's become natural behavior for our kids. As much as we talk about all the bad, here's one of the actual wins that we've had.
Yeah.
We don't even have to, our 2-year-old, we still have to address it from time to time, but overall we're really, they get this. And so I think over time, not setting as many rules, but being very clear with what the ones are that truly matter.
Yeah. Okay, so number three, inconsistency. So we're inconsistent with the rules, and then we give in to our kids. So meaning, we set the rules, and we stick to them some of the time, and then the next time it happens, and we just give in because we don't want to hear the tantrum, or it's in public, possibly, and we're embarrassed, and we just want to avoid the meltdown, so we give in. So it's the inconsistency. We're sending these mixed messages to our kids.
Yeah, and so what ends up happening is we teach them, when we give in like that, so for instance, it's, you know, there's a temper tantrum, throwing themselves on the floor, or on the ground in a grocery store, that kind of thing, because they want to look at the phone. Say they want to look at your phone and play a game on your phone or something, and you're mm-hmm. like, no, and all of a sudden they're wigging out. You give them in and give in to the phone, and all of a sudden what you're teaching them is that you really don't have control and that manipulation works.
Exactly. If I throw a big enough fit, or if I make it dramatic enough that it draws attention to us, I get what I want.
Yeah. And so...
I've had to walk out of far too many places utterly embarrassed and full of shame with a screaming child. But I will say there was a season where that was awful because it happened a lot. But I think now they've learned that the rules are going to be the rules if we're in public or if we're at home. And so they've lessened for sure.
Yeah.
It's actually been a while since we've had one of those.
Any major issues in
meltdowns
public.
In yeah. public. Because they thought they could get away with it for a long time. Because I was inconsistent. Because I would give in. Because I was so embarrassed.
And research shows that not being consistent actually is really... not good, because what it does is it creates...
That was really profound. It's really not good.
That's what research shows. And that's the actual research. It says it is not good. But what it shows is that it leads to entitlement in children and the sense that they have more authority than the parent does.
Yikes.
So...
I'd like to cling to the bit of authority that I still maintain.
So clear rules, don't set too many... And then be consistent.
Yeah.
Number four is a big one, and I think this is a touchy subject. But number four is that we spank in anger. We shoot ourselves in the foot by spanking in anger, and this is a big one because what ends up happening is we react to misbehavior, and let's go back to that number two strategy where you're stressed, right, and how we respond in stress.
Yeah.
Or it's not responding, it's reacting is really what it is.
Yeah.
And it's reacting versus responding. When we respond to discipline, we're much more calm. And again, remember I said, this is like fight or flight here. When we're stressed, when we're ratcheted, and I love this. I'm just going to briefly go here for a second. Paul in Philippians 4 says that when you're anxious, in your anxiety, go to the Lord in prayer and supplication, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Hmm.
And I think that he was the first neuroscientist, because what he says there is, in your anxiety, go to the Lord so that your peace, so that your mind can be calmed down. Hmm. And then it's not till after that very next verse, he says, whatever, finally, brothers, whatever is pure and true and noble and holy and upright, anything praiseworthy, excellence, he says, think upon these things.
Hmm.
I think Paul understood that when we're overwhelmed,
we can't think.
We can't think straight. And if we're not thinking straight, our kids certainly can't think straight. So in these moments, we're both ratcheted up.
Right.
The child's ratcheted up in anxiety. The parents ratcheted up in anxiety and just frustration. And what it leads is to a massive blow up where we're hitting our kids out of complete emotional uncontrol. We're not controlled in doing it. And think about the message that sends to our kids in those moments. I mean, it's a crime to hit your spouse in those types of moments.
Hmm.
I mean, and here we are in some respects saying it's okay to hit your kids when you're out of control like that. And it's not. It's not okay. So
So spanking in anger.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. When we're spanking in anger, we are not self-disciplined. And let's be honest here. Our children become who we are. And if we want to raise self-disciplined children, we have to show them self-discipline.
Ugh.
So,
which ties into the next one, really. Number five, another way we shoot ourselves in the foot, and it comes out of the same thing, really, of anxiety and frustration and fear. It's that we yell at and shame our kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean.
Right. That it's like our gut reaction. So again, like you're saying, it's reacting versus a responding, which is a much calmer, measured, we're in control. Whereas the reaction is when all of our brain is going crazy and running around the room and we're just reacting out of anger, which I have done far too many times.
And I think sometimes for us is to just go, okay, we're taking a step back here. You know, and one of the ways we handle this is when our children are acting out, we will put them in a timeout and we'll say, okay, and they know the chair that they have to go to. And if we're worked up, we'll say, you need to go sit in the chair and time out right now. And they know that they feel the disconnect in the relationship. They know they've done something wrong. They're apologizing already. And we'll ask them to sit there. And if I'm not ready to speak to them yet, they know we will be very clear about how long they have to sit there before we'll go talk to them.
Yeah.
And we'll set a timer and we'll allow, and because they're so young, at some point we'll let them know, like, okay, here's the countdown. I'll be there in 2 minutes. I'll be there in 1 minute. I'll be there in 30 seconds. Not that they even really know that length of time, but it, over time,
I totally
they're starting
make
to
that up every time.
They're starting to get it.
Say 5 minutes. It's probably eight most.
But
of the
reality,
time.
though, is what we're doing is we're giving ourselves enough time to calm down before
exactly.
we go speak to them.
Half the time, I'm doing it because I'm going to lose it on you, and so I need you to go. You know, it's.
I need you to walk away. We need to both get away from the situation so our brains can calm down, and we can have a conversation about the limit. We can have a conversation about the rule, and just to apply. I mean, this is just to apply kind of what we do in our home, so that we can have that conversation with our children. Because if they're overwhelmed and anxious after a meltdown, we try to lecture our kids. Go back to that verse in Philippians 4. They are not thinking straight.
They literally can't think straight.
Yeah, their brain is overwhelmed. So it's like, you know, you're trying to, that's why it sounds like it goes in one ear and out the other.
Because it does.
And then when they don't obey, we get on them even more.
Yeah.
And the reality is we're not becoming, you know, it's an inability for us in that moment to become a student of our child and just go, okay, listen, I understand in my brain that, like, I'm thinking this, I'm not saying this, but I'm understanding right now, being mindful that your brain is overwhelmed and now's not the best time to talk to you about this. However, you do want to keep discipline as close to the event as possible, right? I mean, that's the other thing. So immediately after the behavior.
Tying
the consequence of that behavior as closely to the incident as we can. But if you need to calm down, step away and separate your child from yourself in that moment for a brief period of time to get your brain calmed down.
Can I say one thing that has really helped me? This is something my mom used to always say to us, and I've said it to at least with our kids, and I don't know if this would be helpful to somebody, but after they have their timeout or, you know, their punishment, I'll come up to them, I sit right in front of them, and, you know, you ask the question, you know, what did you do that sent you to timeout? Talk to me about that. But at the end, what she would always say to us and what I've always said to our kids is, can we start again? Let's start again.
Hmm.
And there is something about that, that like, you literally see this like flicker of hope in their eyes. They're like, we get to start over. Like, that's done then. And it's after that moment. It's like, it literally like, I don't know, flips something in their brain. And then all of a sudden their defenses are down and they're just calm and they're able to just sit there because they realize mom's still with me. Like, our relationship is still here. I messed up. I know that. But she's not still maintaining her anger with me, maybe.
Absolutely,
I think.
Yep.
And so I've just noticed then I can have the conversation because we're starting over. Okay, so now, buddy. Okay, so now, sweetheart. You know, now we're going to, the next time this happens, such and such. And it's like they're able to hear you.
Yeah, and when we focus on behavior, we focus on our child's behavior. And when we yell and we shame, and I think a lot of times we inadvertently shame, we're not trying to do it, but we do, or we criticize our kids, what they're focused on in their brain, and they can't verbalize this, is the disconnection they're having with us. We're focused on behavior, they're focused on the disconnect.
Of
the relationship. And so the relationship's got to be critical. As we set the limits, we focus on that relationship.
Which brings us into number six, then, how we totally mess ourselves up, because we use our relationship with them as punishment.
Yeah, and our relationship with our kids should be central to everything we do. So if you have a pancake date with your kids on the weekend, that pancake date should never be used against them for their bad behavior.
As like a consequence.
As a consequence.
Like, if you don't, you're going to lose pancake
date. Or we're not going to get to play tonight. Or because it's through that play that children act out their feelings. Especially young kids, they act out those feelings. And so it's the way for them to regain power in their lives where they're otherwise powerless. They use the play as a representation of their feelings. And so even though they don't verbalize their feelings to us, this is how they allow themselves to emote, and it's catharsis for them. So
taking that away from them is basically like taking away any their ability to cope.
Yeah, especially with us, because they're worried about the disconnect. So when we can get down with them, Just don't use that relationship as a punishment, because the relationship is everything.
So number seven is sort of something I've already kind of mentioned, but we discipline for disobedience. Not for disobedience, but just for something, behavior that annoys us.
That's annoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another way we
let's be honest about annoying behavior for a minute. What'd you say?
What?
What'd you say?
Huh?
Huh? What'd you say? Mommy, what'd you say?
How we get that a lot. How many times a day do I hear that?
Yeah. And so it can just be like, buddy, you know, like, or just even singing. Our son loves to sing. Loves to sing, uh-huh. But he sings at the top of his voice a lot.
It's really loud. It's so loud.
And there's a lot of times that it's just he's being himself and we want to pour into that. But it's also sometimes quite annoying.
Very annoying.
So it's the balance of how do we help him learn that he doesn't have to scream into the microphone, mm-hmm. but also not make him, not shame him for doing it.
Exactly. Well. Or let's take another example, a child that maybe is the slowest moving thing on earth.
Oh, you're talking about our daughter?
Let's not name names, okay? But you don't have to know her for 3 seconds to know that. And she just operates on an entirely different time schedule, and it is annoying and it is hard to deal with,
especially for two firstborn driven and then our son's firstborn. So we don't, the three of us are all like, you know, we're on time and we're moving forward, and she's just looking at the trees and looking at the grass
and
just
so
taking
precious.
Her time.
She'll literally be like, Mama, look at that flower, it's so beautiful, thinking It's like a story. Like, you're like, I've seen movies about this. Yes, you notice the flag. I didn't even notice it. I literally walked right by. That is who she is. But it's easy in our frustration, because we got to get to school. We got to get, you know, to church, or we're trying to just get out the door. Like,
yeah,
get your
getting
shoes
out the door. Yeah.
On. Yeah, not punishing her, disciplining her for her pace of life.
But helping her, and again, this will happen as she gets a little bit older, but helping her set, it's when she's, you have to separate the disobedience.
Right.
I mean, literally this morning, she comes out the door into the garage, runs out into the, and I said, honey, get in the van, and she runs out into the driveway and just gives me that little look.
Oh,
like,
yeah, total
na,
disobedience.
Na, na, na,
yeah.
Na. And so you have to separate the disobedience from the slow behavior.
Exactly. Okay, number eight. So we've talked about seven. We'll review them, but let's do number eight.
Well, number eight is what goes back to those top three ways. I'm just going to remind you of those. Love and affection. Top three most important strategies for getting the outcomes we're looking for in our kids. Love and affection. Number two is how we manage stress as parents. And number three, again, these are indirect. This isn't directly
hashtag
like...
Hashtag convicting.
And number three...
I don't know why I just said hashtag. That's so dumb.
Wow. So 2015, right?
Totally. Oh my gosh.
We undermine our spouse.
Yeah.
Number three most effective strategy for getting outcomes we're looking for in our kids is how we treat the other parent. And number eight mistake that we make, or the way we shoot ourselves in the foot, is we undermine our spouse. If we're not on the same page as our spouse when it comes to discipline, our kids will smell it out and they will pounce on it faster than flies on pig manure.
That's a visual.
I'm just telling you. And we all know what pig manure smells like. So,
do we? I know what cow manure smells like.
I grew up in a town where there was a pig farm on both sides of the town.
Okay,
so
then
when
that's
you entered
just
it and left
to
it,
you.
It
you
was,
know
yeah.
it.
So
that's horrible.
So you think about
it's
this.
It's true. They,
you and I.
They play.
I mean,
you
and I. Let's talk about you and I for a second, and let's talk about how you think I'm too lenient and I think you're too strict. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it's not that you're too strict and I'm too lenient. What ends up happening is we end up playing off of each other, and I look at you and I think you're too strict.
So you respond by being more lenient.
So I respond by being more lenient. And then I'm more lenient, and then you respond by being more strict. And this is a dynamic that I don't believe it's playing out anymore in our home.
I think it subtly does, but at least we talk about it
we
now.
We talk about it now. Yeah. And whereas before, we didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more important than being on the same page, especially with strong-willed children.
Because they know to come to dad when they really want something, because daddy's going to give in.
But that's not as much true anymore. I will say, yes. What did mommy say?
You will?
Yeah. What did mommy say about that?
That's awesome.
Well, because that's what I want to do. I don't want my kids to undermine us. I don't want my kids to disrespect you if you've said no to something and they can come to me.
Right.
Because then what I'm doing is I'm not teaching them that they need to respect you. Mm. And I want them to respect you.
Thank you.
So.
I didn't know you'd been saying that.
Of course.
I love that.
Of course I say that.
What did mommy say?
All right. So
that's awesome.
We hope you guys have enjoyed this episode.
Well, let's just review real quick. Okay,
so
ways that we shoot ourselves in the foot. So we fail to set clear rules.
Yep. Or we set too many rules, number two.
Yeah, we set too many. Or we're inconsistent with the rules, number three, and we give in.
Yep. Spanking in anger. Reacting. Or yelling.
And shaming.
And shaming out of anger.
That's five. Six is using our relationship with them as punishment.
Seven is disciplining not for disobedience, but for behavior that annoys us.
Yeah, that one still gets me. And then the last one is undermining our spouse.
Yeah. If you've listened to this podcast today and it's resonating with you, have your spouse listen to it, talk to each other about it, and figure out which is the one for you that you go, man, I need, just what is the one?
Yeah.
What is the one that you go?
Like this week, I'm going to do a better job on, for me, it was setting clear rules. I started literally at number one, and that helped me because I feel like we just go through our days and we're just reacting to what they're doing, we're just trying to get through. And it really took me to be proactive and actually write out for me the ones that mattered for our home. And we just focused on, I think it was two rules for that week that I really wanted to hone in on. And it just really helped. I felt more in control, first of all, because I felt like I had a plan. And then I was able to set out consequences for the kids. And it was amazing. They latch onto it.
And
they want boundaries.
They want boundaries.
They just want to know what they are. And I was just going by the seat of my pants day in and day out. And I was exhausted by it.
And depending on your kids' age, for your teenagers, you might have a list of different rules. And maybe it's a bigger list. But I would really encourage you, sit down with your teenager, write those rules out, and invite them into talking about the consequences and setting the consequences for breaking those rules. Obviously, there's going to be some technology boundaries that are set in those rules if you have teenagers. For young kids, I think the younger your kids are, the smaller your list will be, and hone in on just some of the core ones that really matter. And then also, for me, yours was setting clear rules. Mine was consistency, following through.
Yeah.
So I think even for you as a... whether it's sitting down with your teenager or if it's just you and your spouse sitting down together, put the list of consequences beside the rule so that you both know what the consequence is and that you can follow through each time. And you're not, that it prevents you from undermining one another. And it prevents you also from sending your child mixed messages. So some ways that we can
And I think when the rules are clear for us, we're calm. We're able to walk into a situation because we got a plan. Yep. I know what I'm doing here, which most of the time I don't. But for those two things, those two roles, I had a plan and it felt great.
Love it. Thank you all for joining us today. And we hope that this is helpful so we can shoot ourselves in the foot less often in the training and admonition of the Lord.
For more information and resources or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy.
Be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Write a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, and questions you may also want us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor walking alongside you.
We'll see you next week.